Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's another day very similar to yesterday. It is sunny. I mean, earlier today, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Sunny, hot, and very breezy. I mean, really breezy. So it's a little unusual, but that's the being on the outskirts of Debbie.
Oh, sure. And we're pushing over, you know, 90 plus, as we will for most of we're in that period, right, Bill, where it's... It's significant if it's not 90 to 95.
This is an extended period.
Yeah.
It feels like.
And I would say for folks moving to Auburn, because there's quite a bit of that happening right now.
Yes, indeed.
It doesn't stay like this all year. You know, there will be, it will get a little bit more, it will get a little bit more temperate as we get into football season. But for right now, yeah, just some tough heat. I saw, driving around a little bit today, Bill, saw quite a few folks helping. I think Rush is starting right now on campus. Mm-hmm. And so just as I did with Lauren a couple of years ago, help, you know, I see the families helping, you know, helping move some of the furniture into some of the dorms.
Yeah, I came through campus in between our two media opportunities today, and yeah, it's pretty busy.
Some of those old dorms getting torn down on that on that side of campus. Some of the older ones, but some of the other ones still in use, and folks moving in. But yeah, it is hot out there. So be careful and be aware, and yeah, maybe we'll get some relief in the form of it.
Nice to get a little rain. Actually,
ambushed by a little storm last night here at the.
It threatened at my house. All it did was leave spots on my car. It spit for like 4 minutes.
Ferguson and I have taken to we've started sneaking into the Wing Studio to do the Observer podcast when we're both available on evenings, and we were a couple minutes into last night's taping, and we both look over and it is pouring. Absolutely pouring out the window, and we'd both been outside.
Well, it thundered. I mean, the thing is, on the way home, I got, you know, thunder and saw some lightning, and I thought, great. I went and moved some things so that they wouldn't get soaked. I probably shouldn't have done that.
Well,
it didn't rain out on the other side.
Here's how I processed it, Bill. I look in the window in the Wing Studio. I can see water. I can see moisture, and I'm thinking, did they put the sprinkler on? Like where could, I mean, because it was bone dry outside minutes earlier, and then I was able to, you know, a couple seconds later I could see that it was just absolutely it was showering here in the area. So you know, things can,
well, it is summertime. Things like summertime. That can happen, and you do have the tropical disturbance that we talked about a little bit that we're getting the wind from. So, you know, maybe we could stand a little bit of rain, but we're here not to to dampen your spirits at all. We're here to talk some sports with you. Did you like that segue?
I did like that. Yeah, okay.
We had a couple of opportunities today. Had a viewing window today over for practice. Wasn't an extended one today, but I spent a good bit of time down on the defensive end looking at the guys working on that side of the ball, because actually I think there are probably more questions there than there are on the offensive side as to, you know, who will be the first ones out there on the defensive front, and then still interested in the in the safety spot.
Yeah, I think that the other safety next to Bug Thompson, because it feels like Thompson has
he's
solidified.
He is a starter, I think.
Which, you know what, I don't know when Auburn landed him. I don't know if I necessarily pegged him as a guy who was going to start the opener for Auburn, and not every transfer profiles that way. Not every transfer Auburn has will start game one this season. Instead,
well, they can't.
Well, we were saying there's really only. I mean, if you think about the 22, you know, the starting 22, there are Keandre Lambert Smith, Robert Lewis, Percy. One or two defensive linemen, depending on how things shake out.
I think probably one defensive lineman.
Yeah, because it feels like Jason Jones and Bobby Jamison Travis are in competition.
Very, very much so. I would say right now the biggest competition that I saw on the defensive front, would it be Jason Jones or Isaiah Rakes?
Right,
starting at nose is what it looks like now,
and that's alongside Keldrick and
Jalen McLeod and. Well, let's see.
Do you have another spot there on the defensive line, or is that your? Is it?
Well, let's see. The defensive ends.
Yeah, let me see what the Bill Cameron depth chart here.
Let me look at what I had today. Today the end is.
Trill Carter's out there somewhere.
Well, yeah, he's at the nose.
He's at the nose. Is he the nose in competition with Rakes and
Jones?
Yes,
he is.
Okay, he's a guy who was running. Trill Carter
the tackle.
Was running,
Now there was a guy that I didn't see out there today that's in the mix at tackle, and that's Gage Keys.
Okay.
Because you got Philip Bleedy, Malik Blockton, and DJ Reed. So you're probably going to have two defensive linemen. So you're probably going to have either, I would think, maybe Keys and then possibly Rakes if Jason Jones doesn't start. And then Keldrick Falk and Jalen McLeod would be the other two guys up front.
Where is Jamison Travis in this mix? Because that was a guy Jason was talking about a little bit when I got to have a conversation with him today. And I'll let him talk about it tomorrow, too.
He's in the mix. He's worked some. He's practicing some with both the nose. He'd work with the nose guys for a little while. Then he'd go over and work with the tackles.
Because I thought he's
working at the two and the three.
Yeah, I thought I'd saw Jamison Travis running some with some other guys that I thought looked like first teamers when they were doing some defensive stuff. And I don't know how much in competition he is. But that's a guy I've also heard his name mentioned a few times. Mm-hmm. So two.
I think well here's something. And if we get a chance, we'll run a little of a Bug Thompson. Who said he was asked a question. I think he misunderstood. He was asked a question about what makes him feel the best. What does he feel the best about the secondary? And he said the defensive line. And the guy looked funny, but he thought, what did he feel the best about on defense? And he said the defensive line. He said he's never been on a team that had as much talent and was as deep with talent up front as this defensive line. He then went on and said, this is the most talented. It's the most talented defense he's played on, and it's not even close. He said we're really young on the back end, but he's never been around as much talent as he has this year. And Texas wasn't a terrible defensive team last year.
Texas was, in fact, a playoff team last year that lost one regular season game. So yeah, that's a Bug Thompson. Having
he's been around for a few years and he's seen. That's what I sort of asked him, you know. And I asked him, you know, having been around for a few years, where is this team in comparison to others you've been on? And that's when he said it's the best defensive team he's ever been around.
And I also, you know, you don't want to take into account that he's also a motivator and a leader and somebody who wants to.
But I don't think he would have gone to that extreme if he could have said, oh, it's on par with the best teams I've played.
How wild would it be? He was just, I was on a way better team last year.
Yeah,
like it's we're not even close. No, and that, but no,
well,
but
that's when you say we're coming along.
He looks. Yeah, no, you're right. He's not. He's probably not going to hit you with a I've made a huge mistake like Arrested Development or something. But no, to hear Bug Thompson and getting back to the new players that look like they're going to start. I mean, if you're talking. You know, Bug Thompson and two defensive linemen as your new guys on defense, three receivers and Percy. That's seven. I mean, that's
still a third of your almost a third of your it's starting lineup.
It's a third, but compared to last year when that number was 16 or 17, right? I mean,
it was two thirds last year.
Yeah, last year. I mean, the last year it was tougher to find holdovers who had earned starting jobs, and there are far more of those this year at different spots. Guys like Rivaldo Fairweather back for their second year. So many guys who finished last year as the starters that you feel like can build on. what they did in their first year. You mentioned McLeod, right? Kay and Lee. I mean, there's reasons why. I mean, most of these guys got their first taste of SEC football last year, and most of the time, the guys in that situation can make the jump in their second year, whether it was their first year because they were coming right out of high school, like a Connor Liu or a Keldrick Falk or a Kay and Lee, or it's a guy who was a veteran transfer like a McLeod or a McLeod or thinking about Rivaldo, right? I mean, like a Peyton Thorne. I mean, different veteran transfers at different spots who got their first taste amid everything that was happening last year, and now get to be a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more stable in what they're doing. So somebody mentioned a big difference between the roster this year and the roster last year is that a guy like Jalen – okay, think about Keyron Crawford coming in from Arkansas State. A guy like Keyron Crawford last year – would have had to come in.
He's just been thrown right in there, and you're the guy. Go ahead and make some plays for us.
And
right
start a ton. And he can be eased in this year. And if he's able to shoulder the load, you can gradually give him more and more. And if you reach his limit, you can pull back. But you have options other than Keyron Crawford last year at positions like edge. Right? You think about McLeod's usage. You know, last year Auburn really it was hey, new guy from a Dylan Wade. Like, hey, new guy from a smaller school.
Yeah.
It's your job, and it's going to be you all the time with no breaks, and you know you have to learn on the fly, and that's it's a tough way to. Having to do that at one or two positions, you can probably absorb it. Mm-hmm. Having to do that all over the field, all over the field on both sides of the depth
chart. It was better than the option that they had on campus, but I mean, it's not the optimal solution, and it's
necessary to get to where you are now.
Right.
All those guys had to go through their first year to get a second year, but now you feel like maybe, I mean, it's a little bit like Bill. You're outside a lot in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like planting. It's like planting something you're trying to grow. Right, like some fruits or something. I don't know. You got lemons
sometimes
or limes.
Transplants are just fine.
That's true, but you got lemons or limes or tomatoes or something in the peppers maybe in the garden, like something like that. You know if you need maybe after the first year, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah, generally the second year is going to be much better.
Well, Hugh Freeze hoping to get a harvest here.
No question. All right, we had a chance to talk to some of the players. I mentioned Jaron Bug Thompson. Who explained that Bug came from when he was a little kid. His daddy just called him as a love bug. So that's where Bug came. At least it's not Love Bug Thompson. It's Bug Thompson. But talked with him. I've got Thompson and Rivaldo Fairweather. And then you were in for a lengthy time with a group there with Sam Jackson.
Yeah, Sam Jackson was outstanding. I'd love to play that for folks if we get the opportunity. We also have Kayan from yesterday, which we did not run. I thought Kayan was outstanding.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear him.
Kayan Lee was very good, talking about some different aspects of the defense, what he learned from DJ and from Nehemiah, and you know, he's sort of illustrating my point about so many of those guys. You know, any one of them could break out. Of the guys that got their first taste of playing time last year and now get to build on that with a full off season, and Kayan Lee is another one. Connor Liu talked to the media today, and
man, he is a chiseled
young
man.
Yeah, he's a big. Good, I mean, I remember when it was that was a position where folks tended to be a little doughier.
Yeah,
I'm not calling anyone out. Nobody. I'm not naming anyone.
He's not far away from being able to play the part of a superhero.
Yeah, Connor Liu is a power lifter looking offensive lineman. Auburn. I mean, it's not a flabby bunch in general. I would say it's.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I mean but in Connor Liu's case, you're right. That guy is impressive.
All right, so we have plenty of audio for you today. We had mentioned, but I haven't reminded you that Andy Burcham not with us today. He will be joining us tomorrow afternoon. He and his lovely wife Jan have VIP passes to the Danny Manziel show over at the Googe this evening.
What did Travolta call her?
Oh,
at
my
the
goodness.
Oscars, it, well, remember? God,
yeah, I remember seeing it going.
The wickedly talented. We got to look it up during the break.
Yeah. The thing is, if we say that, that's probably what I'll say the next time. You know, you get something like that in your head.
I want to hear it. We're going to get a full report tomorrow, I think. I think from Andy.
Andy will be with us in the second hour. We'll have Jason Caldwell with us from 4 to 5. Andy will come in at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So we're wide open. Love to hear from you. You can join us on the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Travolta called her Adele Dazeem at the Oscars.
Yeah, that's close. It's got some of the letters in it, probably.
Idina Menzel is a Broadway superstar. She was on multiple episodes of Glee, recording star. She's in Frozen and the sequel as one of the two sisters in the Frozen series. And she's performing at the Googe tonight. Andy and Jan will.
He said 4:30 was their start of their backstage experience.
They get to meet.
They're getting
into
the sound. They've got the sound check. They've got VIP sound check, meet and greet, the whole deal.
You would think Andy Burcham is always getting VIP when he's showing up at the Googe.
All right, so we will get to our first break. Come on in and join us. We've got plenty for you here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Edward Via College of...
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls again. No Andy Burcham with us today. He will be joining us tomorrow in the second hour. We will have Jake Crane, as far as I know, in hour number two today.
I believe we should be checking in with Jake from Crane & Company. Tomorrow, Jason and Andy Burcham.
How about that?
A loaded show tomorrow. And then Justin Ferguson Thursday, as per usual. And we should have offensive assistants, audio from the offensive assistants on Thursday. Remember talking...
And then Hugh Freeze Friday.
Remember talking to... we got great stuff.
That's what we need. We need to get Hugh. You know, if he doesn't have a press conference, just see if he'll give us a quick call every Friday so we can have Freeze Fridays.
I'll tell you what we do is we call Riley and then just get Riley to get near Hugh Freeze and put on the speakerphone, right? And just make him sort of impromptu interview.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, impromptu interview.
Just little cut-ins.
Yeah, exactly.
A live cut-in.
Yeah, hey, right. We get Riley to wear a wire. No, so it's yeah. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But it's the offensive assistants on Thursday. I'm very excited.
Yep.
I'm very excited about that. With Marcus is great. Coach Nix was awesome last time we got to talk to him. Kent Austin is like a genius, right? I mean, you got to hear from him. I mean, he has such an impressive resume.
He really does.
Dating back to his time as an SEC quarterback, not to mention, you think about wanting to, I forget who talked about the benefit of having a coach who's been, I think it was maybe when, remember Coach Rock, the defensive line?
Uh-huh.
Like the thought of like, this guy's gotten to learn in so many different places from so many different coaches, who are adapting to so many different styles. And that's something with someone like Kent Austin. I feel like he's had to figure out all kinds of different offenses and all kinds of different defenses, and the opportunity that these quarterbacks get to learn from him and the benefit of having him around, I think will probably pay dividends. I mean, certainly Hugh Freeze.
And then Jake and Ben, yeah. I mean, as well. I mean, I think it's a tight group. I mean, they're close, but they're also great interviews. So I mean, that'll be really interesting on Thursday. We've got another viewing window tomorrow morning as well, and we will see as they get ready for the practice Saturday, which we're going to be able to watch. I really Really am excited about that. And, Jordy, and again, we're very appreciative for the opportunities we're getting here with the media.
Jordy RSVP, or should I
include you? I did it as soon as I got the email.
Okay, all right, because I'm going to send mine. You know, they told me, you know.
I don't think we had to do it as a group. I think it's just whoever got them just RSVP.
All right, well, we will be there Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
for the practice. Looking forward to that. And like you said, just a ton of access this summer and this off season from the athletic department. Really appreciate that, and looking forward to seeing what it looks like in just a couple of weeks. Remember, as you know, this shouldn't change. Auburn is you still hear it right here on the on our family of stations on Wings 94.3. That's still the home.
That is exactly right. Getting started with Tiger Talk on the 19th.
That's
first,
right.
First day of class.
That's right. Monday Tiger. Or is it it's Monday Tiger. Monday Tiger Talk.
Yep, that is right.
The two weeks from yesterday on the 19th, and then leading up to the first game just a couple of weeks later. There's a soccer game on.
Yeah, you said the 13th or 15th. Maybe.
Yeah, the soccer game on the 15th. Auburn Clemson playing soccer on the 15th to get things going in just a little more than a week with the. With the academic year, the athletic year for Auburn University, and then we'll be playing a football game shortly thereafter. And again, you can hear it on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, so I mean it is getting closer. We'd love for you to join in.
We should figure out. I'm sure because I know we're getting close to. We should have an announcement about. A Tiger Takes football player probably pretty soon. I would think that my expectation is that we're doing that again. So I think should have some news on that front in the next week or so as Auburn as we get closer to Auburn's opener. We didn't talk about the USA Today poll much.
No, we didn't.
Which
Auburn 32nd.
Yeah, not a ton of surprises. I think Auburn will have a chance in the first.
Five
Auburn opponents, I believe.
Yeah, opponents. That's right.
More SEC. I mean, yeah. LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas among the SEC teams that Auburn
does not
play in the rankings. Was Tennessee in the top 25? I forget if they.
Yeah, I think they were.
So maybe nine SEC teams.
I was thinking Tennessee was like 22, somewhere in there.
Let's see here. Is this your coach's poll with Georgia receiving 46 of the 55 first place votes. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, Florida State, 6 through 10. So that's four SEC teams in the top six. Bill, where does six rank, you think, all time for Ole Miss as a preseason coaches poll ranking?
Among the highest they've ever been ranked. If they've ever been ranked any higher.
Would you be surprised? I don't have the answer in front of me. Would you be surprised to learn if that's the highest?
No, I would not. I would not.
Then you get into Missouri, 11. LSU 12, Utah 13, Clemson 14, Tennessee 15.
15 okay.
in the preseason.
Wow.
Top 25. There's an Auburn opponent there at 11, Missouri. That's the third Auburn opponent listed after Georgia and Alabama. So Auburn playing 1, 5, and 11 in the preseason poll. Here's another one, Oklahoma 16, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Miami, A&M 20.
Right.
So there's five Auburn opponents right there in the top 20 in the preseason poll. But also, two teams from the SEC West that Auburn didn't play, or Auburn did play every year, that are ranked 6 and 12, right? So imagine if you still had the SEC West around, Bill. Auburn would be looking at Georgia, Alabama, LSU, and Ole Miss. And so they'd be playing four of the top 12 teams in the preseason. No SEC in the last five in the top 25. Arizona, NC State, USC, Kansas. Preseason top 25. Yeah, that's a coach that someone is assuredly going to. I mean, Lance Leipold is a coach that people are assuredly going to steal. When
it's amazing that he's there right now,
isn't it? I mean, anybody really good? Is it safe to say in Iowa's 25? Is it safe to say a coach good enough to have Kansas in the preseason top 25 should probably be looked at as a guy who could, like, if we were doing the Gainesville equivalent of this show, would it just be the Higher Lance Leipold show?
He'd definitely be higher on your hot list.
He'd be one of them. Washington, Louisville. By the way, Washington, last year's national runner-up, the first team out in the top 25. They would be
13. Number 13.
Twenty-six.
The first team out of the poll.
Yes. Wow. Washington not ranked in the top 25 after losing in last year's national championship game.
That's a pretty big drop. When was the last time a team that played for a national title was not ranked in the top 25?
Can't imagine it's happened in the BCS era.
I'm sure it hasn't.
And Washington, I believe only three of the 22 starters from the national championship game are back. From last year's team between the draft and guys transferring elsewhere. Washington, Louisville, Virginia Tech, SMU, Memphis, Boise, the teams ranked ahead of Auburn. Auburn getting 25 votes in the top 25. Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina also receiving votes just behind Auburn. And how about this? Somebody voted for Troy. Shout out to whoever in the coach's poll decided to toss a Troy a 25 spot in one of their preseason coaches polls.
Yeah, that is interesting. I would think we did not talk about that before.
Auburn has the runway to.
Oh, absolutely.
Auburn has the runway to. I would say at 4-0 with Oklahoma coming to town. They would be assuredly in the top 25 and probably, you know, somewhere probably in the back 10 of the top 25. If Oklahoma starts, if Oklahoma's 4-0 starting at 16, Oklahoma could very well be a top 10 team.
Very well. You're right.
Could very well be a top 10 team.
If they beat Tennessee, who's number 15,
yeah,
there to go 4-0, they probably are going to be. Right at the top 10.
Tennessee has a pretty big one to start the year, right? I thought Tennessee had an out of conference.
No, is it NC State? Who is it?
That might be right, but I'm thinking it is.
And Charlotte.
They have NC State the second game. They're playing NC State in the Duke's Mayo Classic in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's a Saturday night game on ABC in week 2. So that's Tennessee seeing. Ooh, how many? I wonder how many teams, Power Five especially, how many Power Five teams see two top 25 preseason coaches poll teams in the first 4 weeks of the season? Because Tennessee's got both of them away from home. Tennessee's got NC State and Charlotte. NC State's in the top 25, and they go to Norman week 4 to take on Oklahoma.
Yeah, NC State's a team that's like 22, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, anyway,
so Tennessee sees them in Charlotte 2 weeks later. Tennessee goes to Norman, plays number 16 Oklahoma. So a tough start for that inexperienced quarterback there, Nico. We'll see what Tennessee can do with it. If they're 4-0, they will be full of confidence and maybe a pretty dangerous team considering who they would have to beat to get to 4-0. We're talking about Auburn, you know, Arkansas and Cal are games where you better not slip up. You know, they feel like manageable early. I think if Auburn were playing top 25 teams away from home twice in the first 4 weeks, we wouldn't be talking about it like, oh, you can't slip up.
No.
We'd be talking about, oh man, you gotta find your form very, very early. Tennessee's got to find their form early with NC State and Oklahoma on the schedule. If they do, they could have a really big season.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. If we don't have any calls, though, we're going to let you hear some of the audio from players that we've had an opportunity to talk with over the last couple of days as we continue with the Tuesday Drive. Drive, Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Yellowhammer gets us started. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Afternoon. Yesterday or a couple days ago, you were talking about Auburn secondary, and it just kind of triggered a thought. I've always been kind of in awe of a defensive secondary because mentally they have to be very, very quick. You know, the offense lines up. Everybody has to realize, okay, here's what I do. Play gets underway. They got to say, no, now it's changed. You know, so there's all this kind of thing that could be learned by experience, pretty much only. And so, from that standpoint, then, what do you think about our situation?
Well, Auburn's got a couple of very experienced guys back there, and then they've got a few youngsters. Keontae Scott, obviously, is really experienced. He's one of Auburn's three starting corners, one of the outside guys at corner. And Jaron Thompson is a transfer from Texas who has been a multi-year starter at Texas. So those are your most experienced guys. The other guys, you're going to have three players who really got their first playing experience a year ago, their major experience. Caleb Wooden's been around for a couple of years, but he just played special teams year before last. He right now is in a competition with Sylvester Smith, who is a youngster just in his second year. I think he redshirted last year, didn't he? He didn't play an awful lot last year. Yes, he did. He played in a couple of games, but just on special teams. So that's the other safety spot. The other corners, Kay and Lee.
Does Auburn have an experienced option other than Caleb Wooden at that spot, or are you leaning on?
I don't believe
they
do.
Your other options would be guys like Terrence Love.
They don't, because the other experienced guy would be Jaquez Robinson, who has been working some at nickel, where Champ Anthony, who got his first real playing time for Auburn a year ago. So they've got three guys that have last season to rely on, and then a couple of other guys that have more experience. And then behind them, it's a lot of young, but as you'll hear Jaron Thompson say a little when we get the opportunity to run his interview, I mean, extremely talented. But at least you've got guys that have Power Five, and most of them experience here at Auburn.
Have we got enough, I guess I don't want to call them cupcakes, but enough to give us an early experience without getting...
Well, Auburn's schedule at home is, I mean, it's not cupcakes. I mean, obviously, Arkansas is an SEC team that the last time they came to Auburn, they were more than Auburn could handle.
And Cal had a lead in the second half at home against Auburn last year when Auburn went to Berkeley. You know, I would say that the first couple of games, and certainly the two games against non-Power 5 opponents, when you think about New Mexico in week three and the opener against Alabama State, you know, I wonder if you see them as opportunities to limit the snaps of Keontae Scott and Kay and Lee and Champ Anthony, because they seem to be such an important part of what you need all season long. And beyond that, you have guys who need experience and haven't really played much. You don't want the first big snap for a Jay Crawford or a JC Hart at corner to be, oh, well, Keontae got hurt against Oklahoma, and now he needs to go in there in the third quarter of the Oklahoma game, and those are going to be his first real snaps.
No, they should have opportunities. Yeah, they should have some opportunities before then.
So that's, I mean, and I think it's a, I mean, that would be a spot where Auburn is hopeful that the young players are going to be sufficient. But you know, I think deep down, Hugh Freeze probably wishes he had. I think Auburn misses Colton Hood, and probably wishes they had another somewhat experienced option there at corner, but they're going to go with what they have, and maybe by the middle of the season, Jay Crawford or JC Hart or Antonio Kite is an experienced option at corner because they've had to play so much.
There's a luxury early enough, though, to maybe get
should be
them in there.
Hopefully it is. I mean, Auburn should be much more talented than at least a couple of the teams they play to be able to get some guys in.
And I would say all three of those guys, right, Bill? Antonio Kite, J.C. Hart, and Jay Crawford, you'd want to see.
Yeah.
You'd want to get them as many snaps as possible so you can have a little more experience with your depth.
Okay, well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Gellheimer. All right, 334-321-1390.
Between Terrence Love backing up Bug Thompson,
right,
and Caleb Wooden and Sylvester Smith. I mean, you have a whole second unit.
Oh yeah,
at defensive back. With I mean, let's assume
then you've got guys like Caleb Harris and then Antoine Fagans are other guys out there at the safety spots.
There's also, I mean, I didn't mention,
I guess, Caleb also working at nickel.
Yeah, I didn't mention the Colorado transfer.
Yeah, that's like Jaquez Robinson. He's been working primarily at nickel, that third corner spot.
Sure. I mean, so between and I would think one of Crawford, Hart, or Kite could also be working inside. Crawford has worked inside some But they just like what they have in him in general. But I mean, so now you're talking about
they've got numbers.
Yeah.
Again, it's just not a lot of experience. And that's exactly what Jaron Thompson said earlier today. Let's get back to the phone, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How's it going today?
Doing all right.
Great. Where do you guys stand on all the Deuce Knight talk? You guys aware of what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian Matthews yesterday felt there's a really, really good chance that this could be something that is public, that he could officially decommit and flip to Auburn at any time.
It sounds like there's going to be a really disappointed fan base when
yep.
Deuce Knight makes it official.
Sounds like right now the Notre Dame fan base is preparing themselves to be disappointed. Ole Miss is really trying to, you know, keep him home, and Auburn has not let up. They have been relentless going after Deuce Knight.
Now, he's from Mississippi, right, Bill?
What yes.
is his size, Bill? Do y'all know?
6'4", 6'5", 215.
Oh, wow. He's a big kid.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Good. Lefty.
Awesome. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, just saying he's a lefty.
Okay. Interesting. I want to also ask you guys a quick baseball question, if I could. The Chicago White Sox, is it 20 or 21 in a row now they've lost?
21.
21.
The all-time record is 23.
Just right up the road is their AA affiliate, right, in Birmingham?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, the Barons,
Birmingham. Yep.
Has it affected their minor league teams at all? Because they're horrible.
I don't think so. I mean, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head if that's reflect. Sometimes, I mean, the worst team in baseball doesn't necessarily have the worst AA team.
No.
in baseball, because you'll have a mix of veterans.
Sometimes
and prospects
the worst
on
the team
rise.
In baseball should probably have more players in AA.
Yeah.
Because
that's
maybe
exactly
they're playing
what I'm
them.
Thinking,
but
Bill, how many of those guys can you call up?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the Sox have got a few players too. I mean, it's hard. I mean, and this sounds crazy. It's hard to lose 21
yeah.
straight. I mean, sometime you're going to have a guy throw a decent game, and so, Luis Robert Jr. or somebody's going to crank one, and you might win.
Some though. I mean, sometimes when a team really struggles, it was not. I mean, not like major league, but it is a situation where the organization was maybe bracing for a down year, right? You've cleared payroll.
I don't think
you've
the Sox were expecting.
That's what I'm
like
saying.
This.
No. But there have been times in baseball where there have been bad seasons, and it's like, you know what? Going into the year, we let our veterans leave. We called up a lot of, you know,
right.
really young guys. It's a rebuild. We didn't really add anybody in free agency. You know, Chicago, it felt like these last couple of seasons, they were trying to compete.
They were adding.
I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf is getting older. He wants to win a championship, another one for the White Sox, before he passes away. And instead,
they're like 60 or 61 games under 500.
Yeah, they've made aggressive moves in the last couple of years, and so it's almost like not only is the on field product, you know, by far baseball's worst. You also, I think in the past, they've let guys go or traded away guys that may have been helpful now for a team that has playing time available for young prospects. But they're light on prospects too, Bill. Like
yeah.
No Didn't
kid.
They just win a World Series about 7 or 8 years ago or so?
That was more like 20 years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, that was the year after the White Sox broke their long drought the year after the Red Sox did. So the Red Sox in 2004, White Sox in 2005.
I mean, it's hard, like Bill says, hard to lose 21 games in a row. And they're playing the A's right now, and the A's aren't much better than they are.
No, the A's aren't very good either. If they don't break it tonight, then I think they're going to at least tie the record because they got the A's again tomorrow night. They've got, who's the starter? Former Dodger.
Which
start tonight for the A's, 2-10 with about a 6 ERA.
Oh boy, it's not Tyler Anderson, is it?
Stripling.
Oh, Ross Stripling. Yeah,
I think Ross. So he is the worst A's starter. If they don't break it tonight, then they're going to be going for the record.
Now, who do they have after the A's, Bill? Do you know my opinion?
I don't know. Somebody better. I have really
almost assuredly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Probably the only team that's as bad as they are, even worse, maybe the A's.
So. Well, the Marlins are pretty bad.
Yeah, Marlins pretty bad too. Yeah. Take care, guys.
All right. Appreciate it, Terry. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in. And again, we've got plenty of audio that we'll run when we get a chance here on the Tuesday Drive.
Take your brand.
AU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, hour number one here on this Tuesday. And again, we had an opportunity to spend some time with some players today. And Rivaldo Fairweather, who got no respect at SEC Media Days, was asked that early on. So we thought we'd let you hear some of the comments from the Auburn tight end.
When Austin sat here yesterday, the whole chair was like...
I mean, I already pay attention to preseason stuff. I always tell, a couple people was telling me about it and showing me, but preseason is just what they think that's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know that I'm number one in this league and number one in the nation, so I don't really worry about it. I just put the work in, and I'm about to go out there and show it this season.
You feel like people have kind of forgotten you kind of exist? Obviously, there's been a ton of talk about the receiving, you know, core that's, yeah, you know, everybody that's come in, and you were the team's leading receiver last year, and there hasn't been a ton of talk about.
Yeah, our receivers deserve to be brought up because they really improved. Freshmen came in ready to play. Camden Brown, Cam Coleman, Rob Lewis, they all deserve the glory because they it's a new receiver core this year, and I feel like that's going to help me this year because they ain't going to be able to bracket, put safeties over top, nothing, because our receivers going to go out there and play and make plays, so it's going to be good.
What have you really focused on trying to get better at, Rivaldo, in the last 6 months?
In the last 6 months, I really focused on getting my body right. I kind of toned up a little bit, and I've been grinding this offseason, focused on making sure I'm in shape, having better stamina and stuff like that so I can go out there and play every play and not want to come out the field because my team needs me out there. And also, I've been focusing on catching better. Like, I've been on the jugs every day, catch 200 balls a day. And also blocking. My coach Ben, he's been really helping us with that in indie drills, just doing all the blocking stuff and working on better hand placement and stuff like that.
How have you seen Carter Lou evolve as a leader for that offensive line, kind of leading that front five?
Oh yeah, Connor Lewis, he was a freshman. When he came in with me, he was a freshman. He was kind of smaller, but he really bulked up and got bigger and got better. So, but Connor Lewis is a great center for us. He's a great leader. He's the smartest old lineman out there. So he's a good person to have in the center of your offense, the control, the checks, and ID the mic and stuff like that. But Connor, he's going to be great for us this year.
There were so many new players last year vying for starting spots. It feels like you have a lot of holdovers. You're one of those guys who were new to the team last year. Now you have a year under your belt. What feels different about this fall versus last fall, your first one?
This fall, our offense is clicking way, way better than last fall. Last fall, we kind of had a couple people around that didn't really know the players, did it. But this summer, our offense, like, we really went to work and we really came together as an offense and put the work in to come out here this fall and just clicking right away since day one. And obviously our receivers are way better now. That's going to help our team. And just Peyton, he's really comfortable back there. He everybody knows what's going on. We got Coach Nix come in, but and Coach Freeze and his offense, just Peyton knows everything that's going on. So when he knows what's going on, he's more comfortable, know the right checks, know the right reads to make. And yeah, offense is going to be something to look out for this year.
What can you say about Brandon and the way he's performed so far this fall?
Brandon, he's a really good tight end. You know, he's bigger. He's like 6'7", like 260. He's going to be really good for this offense. Having both of us in there, you know, we got 12 personnel. It's going to be hard to stop.
Baldo, you mentioned it earlier, but have you already seen those young receivers come in and even guys like Dre and Robert help you out?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, them boys, they came in ready. Coach Davis went out there. Coach Freeze went out there, recruited the right guys to come in here and be ready to play. And they showed that on the field, that they're out here ready to play and go out making, running good routes, catching the ball. And that's what we need out there from the outside guys.
The biggest differences you've seen with Coach Nix leading the offense?
Oh, Coach Nix, he's a guy with passion. He loves the game. He goes out there and gives us a standard, and we go out there and execute it. Coach Nix, he's a really good offensive coach. He makes sure everything is detailed, and that's one of the one of the reasons why our offense is going to be good.
Have any of those new receivers, whether transfer or freshman, kind of exceeded what you thought they would be, or really impressed you more than you originally thought?
I feel like Cam. Yeah, Cam. I when he first came in, I didn't know he was going to be that good. I'm not going to lie, because you know some freshmen come in and they kind of like slow play their way in and build their way up. But Cam, he came in ready, and he came in ready to play. Malcolm, he's actually good too. He's a sleeper. He's pretty fast out there. Bryce King, he's pretty good. Perry, he's a big receiver. He's going to be good. And just all our receivers are good, man. Now we got depth at receiver now, so they're not going to be able to stop us.
How does it change your job, knowing that you have a much better wideouts playing outside of you?
My job, it kind of...
Thought we'd have time to get it. I think that was the last his last response anyway, but some good stuff from Rivaldo Fairweather. Offensive players really upbeat, really, really upbeat about things early on. It'll be interesting once they get out there and do some 11-on-11 and then get through the first scrimmage-type action as well. All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Don't forget, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of next hour, but until then... Phone lines are open. Come on in and join us. 334-321-1390 here on the Tuesday Drive.
Is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Talked a lot of football as Auburn football practice continuing today. We had an opportunity to watch a little of the practice. Then we spent time with four or five players. Let's see, who all we had? We played Rivaldo for you. We also had Jaron Thompson, Damari Alston, Sam Jackson, and Connor Liu.
And Connor Liu. That's right, a couple of offensive players. And I would love, in the 30 minutes we have before we talk to Jake, to
play. I want to hear some of what Sam Jackson said. He was like a couple of tables away, but it was really interesting, just the little bits and pieces I got to hear.
Jason and I got to talk to him a lot. I find Sam Jackson fascinating. I love stories of quarterbacks switching to other positions. I always want to hear sort of what they can take with them from the quarterback position. And one question I asked Sam, Bill, is you're someone who has been on both sides of this. What are the most important things the true freshman can do to really help as receivers in their first year? Because you've seen it as a quarterback, and now you've worked with them in the room as a receiver, and Auburn has a couple of guys. I mean, he raves about Cam Coleman, but Auburn has freshmen. Mm-hmm. Also, and he says some things about Malcolm Simmons.
I was going to say, the guy that got a little talk today was Malcolm Simmons. I mean, there were more comments about Malcolm today. I mean, a couple of comments about Perry's a little rusty, but wow, what a fabulous athlete he is.
Yeah, and Malcolm Simmons is someone Sam Jackson talked about not being as familiar with Malcolm's track accolades, and now learning
right.
he's somebody who was winning high jump and long jump competitions instead of and setting state records, I believe, in the long jump before finishing high school. It's like you can see that comes through. You know, some of the other stuff, you know, is rounding into form as a receiver. You want to, Drew, do you have the Sam Jackson?
Yeah, I tell you, we'll do that. Let's take care of the normal business that sure. We usually do. And then we'll run that because, yeah, very interesting. He's really good. He's a really good interview. We will let you know that the hour number two of The Drive is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us, give us a call on The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
All right, and we will let you hear some of the comments from Sam Jackson. Is it Sam Jackson the fourth?
It's the fifth, isn't it?
The fifth. I knew there's a V there. I didn't remember if there was an IV or just a V. But yes, the former quarterback and roommate, turns out, of Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne.
Quarterback to receiver. Mentally, like as far as just a real part of the game, it was kind of easy. But as far as physically, it's just, you know, getting used to a quarterback, you don't really run that much, you know what I mean? So I feel like just adjusting to it with my body was the main thing. And I feel like it wasn't that hard for me, but it was definitely more challenging than I thought it would be. But I definitely feel like I've taken a step further as far as just leadership with the guys, just giving my knowledge that I got from a quarterback standpoint, and then just obviously out there working what I need to as far as fundamentals with the receiver position.
How big was the spring for you to kind of knock the rust off and to then have that to work out in the summer?
It was pretty big. I mean, I feel like if I came in now, like if I was a freshman coming into the summer, it would have been pretty different, especially since it's the SEC and I'm changing my position. But it was pretty big for me. I was just trying to get the feel of it. I'm still getting a feel for it now just because it's much harder than people think it is. Like, receiver is not an easy position. And also, I'm transitioning, so, like,
the spring was... You didn't jump back to we were 16 years old?
Oh, no, I definitely didn't. It was 100% different. High school is it's different levels to it, college and high school. So, spring was pretty big for me. I just feel like I'm starting to get comfortable now, and that's what my coach has been telling me. So, I'm kind of starting to get there, for sure.
How much has it helped to have Peyton to be there with you every day to go through this process?
It's amazing, honestly. Like, we were just talking about it the other day. Like, we never thought that we would be in this position. But as far as Peyton, he reminds me of Peyton Manning. Like, the cerebral part of the game, he has that down pack. So I play quarterback. I don't have as much experience as Peyton did playing quarterback, so he has more knowledge than I have. But when you got guys in a room like Dre and you got guys in a room like Rob, and then I got Peyton as a quarterback, I mean, I'm learning from three vets, from the cerebral part of the game, the physical part of the game, fundamental part of the game. So it's honestly just helping me grow.
What was the hardest part of that transition?
The hardest part, I would say the intangibles, like DB got his hands on you, getting his hands off and stuff like that. Like, I can run routes. I mean, I feel like running routes, don't get me wrong, it's an art. But, I mean, that's something that you can work on all the time. You can't really work on the one-on-ones with a DB if you're not, like, you know, sometimes you got to take that rest and stuff like that. So it was really just learning, like, when to get the hands off, just the little things. I mean, everything else is pretty much easy for me, but that was probably the hardest thing for sure.
What kind of helped you adjust and improve in those areas? Was it just kind of a repetition, or?
It was definitely repetition. Like I said, having guys like Rob and Dre in a room, two vets, they just, whenever they see me do something, even if it's a good rep, they coaching me up on small things. Then you got guys like Coach Davis, Coach Heath, and Coach Moore in the room who just got that passion for us, who really care for us. So every single rep, like, it don't matter if it's the best rep I've had, it's always something that I can work on, for sure.
What do you remember from last year's game?
Against Auburn?
Yeah.
Man, that's honestly kind of a blur, but I just remember Ben Finley starting. I think he had like three drives, and then they called me, and I did not know I was going to play in the game. But I was just ready to go out there because I knew my brother was on the other side of it. We didn't talk that week just because it's competition. I don't really want to talk to you, you know what I mean? But I just remember going out there in the first drive. We just walked him down and we scored. And then after that, it was kind of like back and forth between the two. And it was just crazy, like the atmosphere. We played at Cal, but like it was a lot of Auburn fans there, you know what I mean? So it was just it was kind of a blur for me, to be honest.
Were you and your teammates kind of shocked at how many Auburn fans flew all the way out?
Yes, for sure, because that's so far away. That's like a 4 or 5 hour flight, you know what I mean? So we were talking about that after the game, obviously, but though it was kind of crazy for sure.
Sam, I'm sorry if you were asked this already. We were over there, but obviously with two freshmen coming in Cam and Perry and then Rivaldo, do you feel like there's going to be room for you to operate rather than the slaughter elsewhere in the
top? Definitely. I mean, obviously, everybody's still fighting for a spot, but just to reflect on the guys we have, I mean, you got a guy like Cam who's just insane. As you guys can see out there today, he's just a specimen. Then you got a vet like Rob in the slot, and then you got Dre, who's also a vet, and those two guys are just super smooth with everything. Like, they got knowledge about the game, and they give it to us. Even though I'm going into my fourth year, it's still things I got to learn because I'm new to the position and stuff like that. But when you got guys like that in the room, and you got coaches like we have, Davis, Mo, and Heath, you don't really focus on, am I going to get the ball or am I going to start this season? It's really just you want to see everybody else in the room succeed. And I feel like once you get that mindset, then things just start coming your way, things just start going right for you. So,
as someone who's worked as a quarterback and a receiver, mm-hmm. what are the most important things for the true freshmen to do if they want to contribute in their first year as wide receivers?
The main thing is people think at receiver is just about running a route, catching the ball, getting open. But really, it's about knowing what the starting quarterback is thinking. You know what I mean? Like, you go out there and you see a certain coverage, and it's like, if I know that it's like cover three, it gives me an advantage as a receiver. But if I don't, then I'm just going out there, and I'm, oh, man, I didn't get the ball on this play. But sometimes, like me, I know every single time who's getting the ball, when they're getting the ball, especially when we're doing the RPO and stuff like that. But it's just an advantage just to know what coverage you're going up against and just studying who you're going up against. But in the slot, it's kind of different because you usually get like a nickel and you get like a safety over you and stuff like that. So it's really just an advantage to know what the quarterback is thinking, you know what I mean? So you really should think about the quarterback as a receiver rather than just getting open and catching the ball and running a certain route.
What sort of advantages do you think you have as a former quarterback moving to the receiver position? What are you drawing?
Knowing what Peyton is thinking every single time. I know what he's thinking every single time. And I know it's kind of weird because I know when I'm about to get the ball, but I know when I'm not about to get the ball too. So I think that's my main advantage, just knowing if there's going to be a nickel fire, like a blitz or anything like that, or when it's man and I'm in the slot and I got that big boy fade, I know it's coming to me. And it's kind of weird just because I started to get nervous like when I'm about to get the ball, but I think that's the main advantage for me, just knowing what Peyton is thinking at all times. And that's my best friend too, and I stay with him, so we kind of just have like a certain connection. But
Does that help the fact that you guys have known each other for years?
It definitely does. I mean, it does for sure. I just think that main advantage, man, like, it's crazy. Like, I wish you can be inside my mind. But, like, even when I'm off the field, I just know what Peyton's about to go with the ball, just the coverage and the leverage that the defense is having on us and stuff like that. So it's just knowing Peyton, it definitely helps for sure.
How have you seen him grow being back in an offense that you guys grew up playing?
Yeah.
Has that been a big deal?
It's been a big deal for sure. I mean, last year you seen Peyton in that – it wasn't Peyton. Like, you go back to 2021, that's how Peyton is playing now, and it is just playing. It's just up more. But I think the main thing was the receiver room. Like, we didn't have a lot of juice in the room. But now we got those guys, and now you see Peyton kind of flourishing that. Like, you need guys around you. It's not like basketball. We didn't go and score 50. It's like a quarterback, which is one of the hardest positions in football, probably in the world, probably the hardest job in the world, to be honest. It's just like with a guy like Peyton, his cerebral part of it overrides all of the talent. Like, don't get me wrong, he's very talented. But Peyton knows where he's going with the ball. And it's like, if you don't have receivers that know, I need to get open on this play, it's an RPO, I need to run my fade and get my eyes back, Peyton is like, it makes the quarterback second guess.
Yes.
But now that you have guys like Cam, you got guys like Dre, you got guys like Rob, who know what it is, you know what I mean, who know that part of the game, it's easier for Peyton to get the ball there because Peyton knows where he's going with the ball every single time.
Yeah.
But that's why, as a receiver, you need to know what Peyton's thinking. So you know I'm about to get this ball, or you know what coverage it is. So I need to run this route like this, or I need to tempo it and stuff like that. So,
what do you feel like the potential of this offense is? I mean, just a few days into fall camp, but that's a pretty good smile that tells me that.
It's crazy, man. I mean, we had a pretty good running game last year, but they kind of struggled because we couldn't get the pass to work. And now it's like we can do both, and that opens up for both. You can run the ball really well. You can pass the ball really well. You pass the ball really well. You can run the ball really well. So, I mean, the offense is going to be insane. I mean, whenever I'm off the field, I'm just eating my popcorn, watching Cam go to work, watching a guy like Rob and Dre go to work. But just being in there, man, you, like, get the chills, like, before a play. You know, it's a big play coming up and stuff like that. And it's a lot going on defense. It's a lot of back and forth. It's never really defense wins a day, offense wins a day. it's a lot of back and forth. So it's like that offense is the motor of the team. I mean, like, I think it's the receivers more. If that room is participating well and we're executing well, then the offense is on point every single time. So I think it's going to be crazy.
Sam, do you think you can bring sort of a big play ability to that slot position? Maybe
stretches it a little bit. I definitely do. I mean, it hasn't been a lot to show for it right now, but I'm not really worried about that. It's day four, day five. But I definitely do think that I can bring some big play energy to the offense. I feel like once we get later into it and we start like calling what we really want to call, because we're still like figuring out what we want to do and stuff like that, then that'll show. But that, I haven't been too much concerned about that, just because we got guys that can make plays everywhere. So
people need their popcorn for you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Just get ready. It's gonna be a show for sure. Don't get me wrong. I know I talk about Cam, Rob, and Dre a lot, but I'll definitely bring some energy to that too, for sure.
You got two true freshmen that came in the summer in your room. How Malcolm and
Perry?
And Perry
loves those guys. I love those guys. You got a guy like Malcolm. If you watch Malcolm, you turn on the film, no matter what, if it's an MA, if he's doing the right thing, he's going to go 100% every single time. You know what I mean? And it's kind of crazy because, like, older guys in the room, like, we used to be like that as freshmen. But it was sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm kind of tired of this play, even as a freshman. But he never gets tired, just 100%. Then you got a guy like Perry who's just big and strong. And it's like he hasn't even grown into his body yet. And it's like he's just throwing guys off of him, catching it and stuff like that. So it's just crazy to be who I am and then see who these guys are. And it's just like, it's almost amazing. Like, we're in the SEC, and that's what the SEC brings. So,
can you tell Malcolm's a track champion?
Oh, he definitely is. He's running past everybody. Like, anybody he's going to run past. But that guy, he's extremely fast, and he has a lot of passion for the game, too. So,
you got your basketball, Auburn basketball hat on. You're looking forward to getting over to Auburn Arena some?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't got to go into any games yet, but I'm definitely excited to go see some guys play. We just got that that freshman, I can't remember his name. He's a lefty, I want to say. But he's pretty good. I used to play basketball, so my brother, I call him my brother, Kevin Miller. He's at SMU now. We used to play in the circuit. And that freshman kind of younger than us, but I've seen him play before. So that'll be exciting for us this year for sure.
Peyton did not get to go through spring practice last
his first year, yeah.
Now he's had a full offseason as QB1. You've played quarterback. Is that important for?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, especially coming from the Big Ten, coming to the SEC, I mean, this is the closest thing to the big leagues. And I think as far as Peyton is a guy who wants to get in and he wants to learn. He's absorbing everything. So I feel like that first, getting to participate in that spring and then just jumping right to the fall, it's kind of tough because it's quarterback. It's not like, okay, I'm coming in, I'm playing receiver, and I can get a groove for it. But as a quarterback, man, I mean, like, it's about reps, like clean reps. You know what I mean? It's not going to be clean all the time. But as you can see, he's flourishing. Like, if you guys are out there today, you can see that Peyton he's quick. He's decisive with everything that he does. And I feel like people didn't really get to see a lot of that last year just because of the struggles that they had on offense. But this year is going to be a different ball game for sure.
He said it was boring last year living by himself. He's super glad to have you as his roommate.
Yeah.
He also said that you will be one of his best friends for life. Yeah. Good roommate?
Best roommate I ever had, to be honest. In high school, I always used to dream about, like, just staying with Peyton, you know what I mean? Because after every single game Friday night, I would go stay with Peyton every Friday night, never miss the Friday night. But now it's like I stay with him every day, and it never gets boring with us two in there. We always have these super deep talks. We go to the stadium, stay up to like, not obviously not in fall camp, stay up to like 3, 4 a.m. just talking about us living a dream. I mean, everybody doesn't get to do what we do on a daily basis. So, I mean, having Peyton as a roommate is just crazy. That's a great guy. Like, you really get to know Peyton, you'll love him for sure.
Sam, we've seen pictures and seen videos and stuff. Off the top of your head, what's the craziest play you've seen Cam make in practice?
I mean, the crazy thing about Cam is every single day it's a new play. Like, we just had a play today where he finished off. We kind of started off slow as an offense, but we got to the move of the ball period, and Cam just makes a great catch and he scores. And it's just like, it's almost like in the spring we were like, I was getting super hyped. I can't talk about everybody else, but I was getting super hyped for it. But now it's like he make a catch like that, and I'm just like, that's Cam. Like, he's going to do that every single day. And he's pretty much – he's 17 years old. The guy hasn't even turned 18 yet. So, I mean, like,
I can only imagine what's going through his head as he does that. But it's like you talk to him and he damn near forgets what just happened because it's like it's such a big moment for him. You know what I mean? Like he's doing it every single day. So I'm excited in my head, but it's almost just like a natural reflex to just be like, let's go. Like it's just something slight for him. I mean, next play because he'll do it again the next play. You know what I mean? But I think I can't even think of any like particular play with Cam because, like I said, he's making a play every single practice, every single period. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
You working special teams at all? I
was earlier in the spring, but just since it's kind of the receiver position kind of new to me, I'm just trying to focus on that right now so I can lock in on that. You know what I mean? So.
Good luck.
That is Sam Jackson, the Cal transfer, who
not to talk it up. Like, oh, I got to ask him some of those questions myself. I thought some great stuff from Sam Jackson there about Peyton Thorne, mm-hmm. about his perspective on the other receivers, and I really, you know, getting to peer inside his brain, right? Because he's a former quarterback and a longtime friend of Peyton Thorne's and a guy who is getting to work with these receivers right now. You know, that's someone I would, you know, I mean, I hope we get to talk to him again later in fall camp. Cause I think he's somebody, you know, full of, he's got a really interesting perspective because of his different experiences. And he's also a really bright, really, really fun guy to talk to.
And, you know, we saw him a lot of the spring. We saw him with that yellow jersey on, the non-contact jersey. But we could tell he's fast, but now you hear other players talk, they go, he is really fast.
I'll tell you the other thing that's impressive is that compared to maybe some other receivers that Auburn has had, who you think of as really fast inside threats, mm-hmm. he's solid. Right, like, I mean, Sam Jackson is somebody who, because if you're going to take hits at the quarterback,
well, he's not slight.
Yeah,
yes,
you can't be slight, and he's somebody who, I mean, Bill, you could run him inside every now and then if you needed to, and feel okay about it.
Yeah, he's close to 190.
Yeah, I think this is a guy who could. I mean, look, you want to let him master a position before you start doing gadget stuff with him, but when it comes to pop passes and sweeps and reverses, Bill. Like I think Sam Jackson could be a candidate, touch the ball in some of those situations. Let alone, you know, double pass or something that actually lets him throw the ball.
Slot. I mean, look at the slot. You've got Robert Lewis. You've got Sam. You've got Caleb Burton. You've got Bryce Kane. All could be playing some there in the slot.
Yeah, and I wouldn't rule. I mean, we rule out the other guys just because they're bigger. But it's like, you know,
Perry Thompson was working there the other day when we looked.
A scenario where a Perry Thompson.
And you're not going to find a bigger receiver.
Yeah. I mean, and a scenario.
At Auburn, many places.
And look, if the three best guys end up being Cam, Perry, and Keandre, you know, maybe they figure out which one of those guys needs to be in the slot the most. But they seem to really like what they're getting out of Sam. Bryce Kane with a really impressive catch over the shoulder today right in front of us. And then as he's jogging back, stops, gives Jason Caldwell a fist bump, you know, gets, you know, of course the secret Jason Caldwell handshake there after catching. Did I tell you about that? Kane right in front of us catches it while I'm chatting with Jason, and then he's jogging back and he stops and has to hit Jason Caldwell with the fist bump. So yeah, I mean it's a fun group, and like I say, it's different than previous years for a variety of reasons. One of them is all nine of these guys feel like they have a path to playing time mm-hmm. right now. Now, that number could start to dwindle, and you could start to say, well, you know, these freshmen might take another year, or these veteran guys aren't really in the picture anymore. You know, but either of those things could happen, depending on who we're talking about. Number's probably going to get down to five or six as far as the receivers you see a lot. Yeah.
You can't play many more than that.
But right now, it's nine, and that's a position where these scrimmages seem like they're pretty important, mm-hmm. right? You want to show the Hugh Freeze that you're somebody who can reliably catch the ball. You don't want to you don't want to give someone else a chance to surpass you.
All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive. Experience and knowledge.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. A short segment here as we will get to the bottom of the hour and then check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company. So,
what's the word the rest of the rest of the week? We got football. We got practice.
We have media opportunities.
I know.
You know, all the way through until Sunday.
Really appreciate how much information we're getting to gather through the the athletic department and Hugh Freeze and his coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, so tomorrow viewing window and more players. Thursday.
All the offensive coaches,
offensive assistants. Mm-hmm. Friday, Coach Freeze is going to talk to the media. Do you have a theory there about the scrimmage? Do you think they're scrimmaging?
I think there will be some scrimmaging. I don't know if it'll be a full scrimmage, but I think there has to pretty much be some 11-on-11.
Maybe the players are off Thursday and Friday. You got some 11-on-11, and Hugh Freeze will then.
I would think the player. I would think there's no practice Thursday since we're getting the assistant coaches. So probably they get Thursday off. Friday they probably. I mean, they'll go through a regular practice, but getting ready for Saturday.
Do you think they could be doing some 11-on-11 in the stadium in front of fans for Fan Day and even us?
I think so.
Hey, well, that.
I don't know that Hugh Freeze is terribly concerned about that because it's not. It's like, hey, if you want to see that there's some talent out there, but you don't know that. What plays are going to be called at what time?
They probably want the guys getting used to performing in Jordan-Hare Stadium in front of people. You don't want anybody being shy and showing especially some of these new guys, some of these positions where you want to see what adding some spectators does to this, especially since it's a spectator sport. So yeah, maybe we'll get to see some cool stuff on Saturday with the On to Victory members who are also going to be allowed to attend practice at Jordan-Hare Stadium this weekend.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that, of course, Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Man, it's going great. Another Saturday has come and gone, so we're one Saturday closer, just about 18 days away now. So it's getting hot and heavy in fall camp. The pads are coming on, and that means it's right around the corner.
It is hot. There's no question about that. One thing we've had here on the outskirts of this storm is it's been breezy, but, man, it is hot. And just watching these guys, we are very we feel very privileged. I mean – Hugh Freeze doesn't mind letting the media watch, and we've even got a chance to watch this practice coming up Saturday, Jake. So, I mean, what a breath of fresh air it is to be around a coach that isn't worried about some folks actually watching practice.
Yeah, I mean, heck, around the whole state, now that Saban's gone, people are being able to watch Alabama's practice, and you think they were giving out golden tickets to Wonka's factory. But, yeah, look, I'm going to be honest with you. He's more generous than I would be. The less people that see, the better, the way I look at it. But, no, especially early, you know, before you go through the padded stuff and going through your team stuff and really getting into the nitty-gritty because – I mean, a week before the game, you know, before fall camp ends, you really start getting into game planning anyway. They've probably already started to implement some of the stuff, especially on special teams. So, yeah, man, it's kind of a new day in college football where there's a little bit more open access than there has been in the last 10 to 15 years, really, especially in the state.
We were talking about the college football preseason poll, the AP, the coaches poll that came out earlier this week. A number of SEC teams, not all that surprising that a number of SEC teams represented in that poll, including Georgia, number one with 46 first place votes of the 55 that were cast by the voters. Of those top ranked SEC teams, Georgia at one, Texas at four, Bama at five, Ole Miss at six, Missouri at 11, LSU at 12, Tennessee at 15 Is there one that you're more skeptical about than the others? Is there anyone that you think could have a hard time living up to that billing?
Well, you know, I thought LSU at 12 was really interesting. It's not that they can get much worse on defense. It's just, you know, they're not going to be as good as they were on offense last year. It's unfair to ask Nussmeier and that group to try and replicate that, but they should be better on defense. Having said that, I think putting them at 12 is a little steep. I probably would have put them anywhere between probably 15 and 25. You could have made a good case for, you know, Ole Miss I believe in. I think they're as deep and as balanced as they've been in any time I can remember. I think they have a legitimate, you know, gripe to be a top five team when it comes down to it when you look at that roster. But I would probably say LSU, again, is one of the most skeptical. Bama, you knew they're going to be ranked somewhat high. We'll see with DeBoer year one. I tell you, the one that to go outside of the SEC that really surprised me was Notre Dame at 7. And they just lost their starting left tackle for the whole season. He tore his pec. You know, I hate to see that, but I'm cautioning everybody on Notre Dame a little bit this year, especially week one going to Kyle Field. I wouldn't pencil them in the playoff just yet.
Jake, you're actually surprised that Notre Dame is ranked high in a preseason poll?
Well, I mean, I'm not shocked. It seems like every offseason you can pencil them in
right.
to be considered one of the top dogs. It's just, you know, 7, I thought, you know, top 10 possible, but probably somewhere in between 10 to 15. I just look at their schedule, again, starting week one. I mean, it's, you know, there's been times where we've been able to make fun of Notre Dame's schedule and, you know, they're able to cakewalk into the postseason. This is not one of those years.
Well, I think people are impressed by, especially when it seemed like the Freeman era could be a disaster after those first two losses. Right, the way they started the 2020, that would have been the 22 season, right? When they start 0-2 and they get beat by Marshall and it's a full blown panic, and they've mostly stabilized and played high level football. You know, their losses for the most part are respectable losses. I think it's a big bet on a team replacing, like you said, replacing some key, which I guess is also, you know, a lot of that's true of Oklahoma. Right, like a much better team in 2023 than they were in 2022, and we'll see what happens in 2024. But they have to replace a lot of linemen and the guy who played most of the snaps at quarterback last year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, when we were in Dallas at SEC Media Day, a lot of the Oklahoma fans are like, "Look, you know, we're no pushover. Everybody's talking about Texas and how good they are. You know, we've actually been better than Texas, and I don't think anybody is sleeping on Oklahoma. It's just, when you look at the circumstance we're in, you know, it's tough enough asking a brand new quarterback to come in and start his first year in the SEC. It's an even bigger ask and a bigger mountain to climb to have a new quarterback line is for the first time going into the SEC, and their conference schedule is more difficult than what this is conference game at Michigan in week two. Yeah, look, it just depends on what circumstance you fall in, right? You go back to Notre Dame. Yeah, you know, Notre Dame does return some young pieces at the skill position, and they added Riley Leonard. I like Jeremiah Love at running back, but they're having to replace a big chunk of what made them them, and that was that offensive line. And now your next up young incoming stud left tackle tore his right pec, and he's out for the season, including going to the first game of the year against the Texas A&M front seven that's got NFL players as best. So I'm just, again, you're a victim of the circumstance and where you are in time and the roster fluctuation. It just hits in two different ways for Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and then Oklahoma and Texas.
Auburn coming in 32nd, I believe, as far as the votes are concerned. They've got the opportunity there. If they can get to the Oklahoma game unbeaten, they're going to be ranked and will have an opportunity to make a big move.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, the best part about these automatic bids is, you know, it's not like in 2004 where, you know, if you start 15th and you end up ranked third, you don't get to play for it. You know, there's a guarantee if you handle what you're supposed to handle in the conference. But when I look at this Auburn team and I look at this schedule, I mean, there's no excuse to not start out 4-0. For the more I look into this team, you know, the more true reaction I get from people I trust, that they're really in the reason that Auburn probably shouldn't start 5-0. Now, if you're an Auburn fan, you ought to be rooting for Oklahoma against Tennessee early. You ought to be rooting for them to be undefeated, because that could be a ranked matchup that could favor Auburn and Jackson Arnold's first road game in the Southeastern Conference. So I look at this team. I think 8-4 is very gettable. I think 9-3 is very doable. And if they're able to do that, you'll continue to see this build that has already taken effect off the field in recruiting. It'll only get better and better and bigger and bigger.
Tennessee, who plays Oklahoma the week before Oklahoma comes to Jordan Hare, Tennessee's got two preseason top 25 teams in the first 4 weeks. They got that game in Charlotte against NC State in week two, and then they go to Norman in week four. That's a tough draw for an SEC team in the first 4 weeks. Two games against top 25 teams away from home in the first 4 weeks. What do you think of the way Tennessee starts the year, and can they weather that?
Well, I think they can. No, I think Nico has a chance to be one of the breakout players in college football. That's not a hot take or a surprise to anybody to say that. But that NC State team, you know, Grayson McCall, the Coastal Carolina transfer, a guy that I know a lot of Auburn fans had a lot of interest in. He's there. He's got to stay healthy. But when he is healthy, he's pretty good. And to be honest with you, that team around him is pretty good. Dave Doran's really turned NC State into something to be respected. And you're basically playing them in a de facto home game, even though it is in Charlotte. There's going to be a bunch of NC State fans there, and there's a lot of people with high expectations this year. And then, yeah, you go to Oklahoma, their first ever game in the SEC. It's going to be emotional. My question is, Nico's going to make mistakes, but is the good going to outweigh the bad enough, and will Tennessee be able to survive those mistakes early and win? Because if they're able to find a way to navigate that, they're only going to get better and better going down the stretch, and this team's decently deep.
Yeah, now we've had an opportunity to watch a couple of practices, and we've talked to some of the players. And I know it's early, and everybody had better – you'd better be fairly optimistic at this point, or you're really going to be in for a long season. But we've really heard the players are going overboard, I believe, in the expectations for a huge jump offensively.
Yeah, look, that unit has a chip on their shoulder. You know that they're the unit that was probably questioned the most, and they should be after last year. But I think what you're seeing, this kind of confidence, is because, look, you can sit here and talk a big game and say, you know what, we're going to turn things around and we're going to do that. It all, you have good players around you. I think Auburn's figured out they got some pretty good players around them, including the young guys that are going to make an impact, and this team's going to be better. And that does something to you. But as far as taking that chip on the shoulder, it's a gift. Auburn's kind of in a position right now where they're under the radar. They're kind of sneaky. Not a lot of people believe in Peyton Thorne and in the offense still in general. So I think it's kind of a perfect balance of upgrading your personnel and the roster, and then also being able to maintain that chip on your shoulder to really give you that extra edge in preparation.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Rivaldo Fairweather, the first question he was asked today was about him not getting any respect. And then a little later on he was asked, you know, how did it feel about being the least respected guy? And he goes, hey, I'm not the least respected. He goes, the guy that's more under the radar than me is Peyton Thorne, and just was really – you know, on his quarterback and the expectations that he's going to have now that he's got other weapons. So that's something, you know, Auburn fans are holding their breath and hoping that's the case.
No, without a doubt. Look, if Peyton Thorne could just make the machine go, Auburn's got pieces around him to be pretty good, including Rivaldo Fairweather. Now, you know, there are no more excuses. You've been in a similar system. You've been around for now going on 2 years. You've played an SEC schedule. You know what to expect. There's pieces all around you. You got a good running back room. The offensive line should be pretty good and should be pretty deep. Peyton Thorne's just got to go out there and perform, but that's what you want, right? You don't want to have to make up for deficiencies left and right. You just want to go out there and steer the ship, and if he can do that, Auburn's going to be pretty good.
Now, we're still waiting and wondering, have you heard anything lately about when we might be having an idea actually where we're headed as far as rosters, size, and scholarships? I mean, some of the things we're hearing now is, you know, the SEC could indeed be 105. The roster size could be 105, but the scholarships may not be to that full number. Have you heard anything on this lately? It seemed like we were about to, you know, get these big changes, but, I mean, these are going to be taking effect, you know, for the upcoming year, and coaches that are recruiting. Hugh Freeze talked about this. He needs to know. They need to know what their numbers are going to be for the class that they're recruiting right now.
Yeah, it's hard to put the puzzle together when you don't have the pieces. You know, I take everything that comes out of the NCAA with a grain of salt because mm-hmm. I don't know how much longer the NCAA is going to have any bearing over high-level college football. So any of their rules may be defunct, and you may have to rewrite them, or some commission's got to come together to be able to put some rules together and uniform this thing up. But what I'm seeing is they're going to go to 105 roster limit, and that's what I've seen. But that's only come out of the NCAA. The question becomes, because, you know, you do get scholarships, like you're 85, and you get 125 on the roster. What is this going to do to walk-ons? Will there be walk-ons anymore? There's a lot they have to button up, but, you know, again, knowing the NCAA is going down like a sweet muffin, I take everything they say with a grain of salt because we're just going to have to do it again.
Jake, tell everybody how they can find all the outstanding work that you do.
Really easy. Go to YouTube, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of that. It's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. Talking college football every day, getting ready for what's going to be a crazy season, guys.
Looking forward to it, JK. It is getting closer and closer. Thanks, man. Great stuff as always.
Always, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jake Crane of Crane and Company joining us as he does every Tuesday at 5:30. All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
Seasons Federal. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday. Our thanks to Jake Crane for joining us, as he does each week. Again, Andy Burcham, who's usually with us on Tuesdays, will be in tomorrow in hour number two. So we'll have Jason Caldwell from 4 to 5, and then Andy, voice of the Tigers, joining us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. We should have quite a bit to talk about. Another day of watching practice tomorrow morning. Another day where we get, I would imagine, another 4 or 5 player interviews tomorrow. So we'll have that as Auburn is wrapping up basically its first week of practice tomorrow.
I'm very excited to see. I mean, we're not getting too much of the, I don't know. We're not getting too much clarity on the depth chart versus a week ago, because I feel like a lot of it we felt pretty good about going in. But I think a couple spots. Yeah, finding out who could be first up on the D line, first up at quarterback.
Isaiah Rakes is a guy that today I went down and watched the defensive line. He moves really well for a big guy. He and Jason Jones appear to really be battling for that spot. Jason Jones, I mean, talking to a couple of folks, they said he looks better as far as his pad level. I mean, you think, man, it's great to have a 6'6 nose guard, but at times that's difficult because the center is trying to get under his pads. And Jason Jones at 6'6", Dan, you can relate to this. It's tough to get down really low when you're as long as that.
Sure, and Jason Jones a far better athlete than I could ever dream of being. I could tell you just picking up stuff off the ground.
But I mean, if you're going up against a guy that's 4 or 5 inches shorter than you are, who's already bent down in the center's stance, it's going to be tough for you to try to get the leverage underneath his pads.
Sure. No, the way Auburn has the way they've constructed this defensive line room with guys with different skill sets and you know, big guys, and you know, you have a couple guys who are pretty overwhelming height wise too, but I think it's a that's one of your, I mean, it's one of your more spirited competitions of the of what they've got in the room right now, of what they got on the team right now is seeing who's going to be. I feel pretty good about Keldrick Falk playing a lot after Keldrick, whether it's nose or that other end spot, like it's pretty up in the air.
Yeah, so that's one spot that I think is really up for grabs. I think both guys are going to play a lot.
Who are your contenders to be in the defensive line rotation right now? Does it feel like anyone? Are there any young guys who feel like they're
not? Yeah, I think that are not.
That are. I mean.
Nah, I think Malik Blockton looks like he's going to play some. I'll be interested to see how much we see of TJ Lindsey. Amaris Williams is going to play. He's going to play there at defensive end. Even though you've got Keldrick Falk and Zykevious Williams, Zacchavius Walker. I mean, it's a great situation when you've got guys you feel like are probably going to get playing time, and they're number three on the depth chart. So, no, I mean, I like that. And, again, that's one of the things. And if we get an opportunity at some point, we'll let you hear some of the comments there from Bug Thompson, who, I mean, just raved about the defensive front. Just feels like it is so talented. And it was just talking about that's why he feels really, really good about the secondary, because he loves what he sees up in front of that secondary, the defensive front and the linebackers. And you know the linebackers. I mean, that is an experienced, proven group with a couple of really good young guys as well. So, I mean, right now, like I was saying with Jake, I mean, you'd better be feeling pretty good. Hopefully you're optimistic at this point because, you know, nobody's lost yet. But I think they can see that this is they're in much better position right now than they were a year ago.
And I think that's one of the things where last year you had new faces on the D-line, but you also, I mean, it is a contrast, right, between what Auburn was dealing with trying to construct this roster on the fly last year and the stability they have now and some defensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, you got some new faces you're working on the defensive line. You have far more of them. And you also have some guys that went through the system last year.
Well, last year you didn't have any idea who the linebackers were when the season started.
Yeah.
And now you feel really good about that. All right, fun show today. Again, Jason Caldwell, Andy Burcham tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.